Our Gimel of Amos, as we've seen, a happy theme of many of the Nevi'im, Yirmiyahu especially, is that not only do they have to give their message, but they have to spend about as much of their time yelling at the people who either deny the message or are specifically saying the opposite of the message, false prophets and the like. So Amos gets that wonderful task as well, where he has to respond to the people who are less convinced that what he is saying is prophetic and therefore ignoring the word of God. Shimu et ha'davar hazeh asher diber Adonai aleichem b'nei Yisrael al kol ha'mishpacha asher le'iti me'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Hear that which I have said against you who I brought out of Egypt. Now this is, I love this, right? Because normally you would think that I brought you out of Egypt is part of an expression of love, which is in the Aseret HaDibrot at some level. But that's not how it often appears in the Nevi'im Achronim, where why does God invoke him having taken the Jews out of Egypt? To highlight that, as the Rimi Balagensi says here, Shahayalahem lavdeni, you owe me. Right, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceitecha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and therefore you are my servants. You owe me. You're supposed to serve me, and you aren't. Right? It's not necessarily a good thing here. It's more of failed expectations. It's me taking you out of Egypt set the tone of our relationship and.
Not panning out.
Yeah, I mean, you should be listening to me, you should love me, and you don't. The Malbim is even stronger, and he says, "Vayidei kach kaniti etchem." By bringing out of Egypt, I bought you, I acquired you. L'chelkish tachar asarim elyonim, to not be under the angels or whatever. Marachat Hashemayim ki hashgachati dvuka bachem. Right, following the Ramban's idea that other nations are not under direct hashgacha, whatever that means, but they're under the angels. But the point is, I bought you, right? I put in my side, and now you have to live up to that. And God doubles down on this. Raket chem yadati mikol mishpachot ha'adamah al kein efkor aleichem et kol avonotechem. And you see how fast it goes, right? Look how this pasuk goes. I've chosen you for all people. Now, this is what people don't realize. Sometimes people, modern people especially, get like offended by the idea of chosenness. Like, oh, we're chosen. What are you implying? Other people aren't chosen? Except when you read Amos, you're like, chosenness is a double-edged sword. He says, I've chosen you, and therefore I will punish you, because I've only chosen you. So I can only be this demanding on you. Right? This is not like, oh, I chose you, I love you. It's so great to be a Jew. No matter what happens, it'll all be fine. This is God's rationale for being so harsh, which is B'nai Yisrael. Rashi here says, "Raket chem yadati." Right, Rashi says in pshat, what does it mean? Ahavti, I love you, vatem pashatem bi. Right, it's I love you, and you rebelled against me, and you've sinned against me. Right, this makes it much, much worse. The Rikara clarifies. He says, yeah, because kol adam shelo yadati bitzarato, anyone who was pain I didn't know, velo etivoti lo, and I wasn't especially good to him, imchatuli and lifkoda alav kol kach. So if he's bad to me, okay, I mean, he's bad to me. What exactly do I, right? I'm not going to punish him that much. He doesn't owe me the same. Aval atem, Beit Yisrael, yushe yadati bitzaratchem, I was there, I knew your pain. Like it says, Yadati et machovav, vasiti machem tov. I was good for you in your worst moments. Vatem shilandem bli gmura'ah. Right? So it's ingratitude. I have to deal with your ingratitude. Well, that's going to be a problem. The Ibn Ezra says a little bit differently. It's not just that I knew. What does it mean? What does it mean to say Yadati? that I know you, right? So here you have, right, Rashi and Rikara says it's yadati in the biblical sense, right, of intimacy. Ibn Ezra says, tziviti lochem. I acknowledged you, but the main point is tziviti lochem chukim. And part of that was that I gave you laws. You're the only ones I gave laws, and therefore, you can't say, so he says, it's more than that. It's a theological point. It's not just I'm going to punish you, but when bad things happen to you, you have no right to assume it's just natural. Right? Some other nation with whom I don't have that relationship, if something bad happens to them, they could assume that maybe it happened. But you, when something happens to you because of our relationship, you have to understand. Why is it weird? Potentially, right? This is what we talked about a little bit in Brachot last year. We did the suffering Gemaras, right? Whether it means you have to assume that or you should act as if it's punishment so that it spurs you to do tshuva. Now, right, it's also worth knowing that obviously Yada, because of this intimacy, it's also something we're commanded to know, God, right? Haskel v'yado oti, right? So it also hints at hints at the fact that it's, you're really failing in what you're supposed to do. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet has a bit of a interesting story about this pasuk, and it goes like this: Mishtabech lu Rabbi Avohu lemine bivar safra. Rabbi Avohu would praise Rav Safra to the heretics. He used to talk to heretics, and he praised him that about Rabbi Avohu. He's a big Talmud Chacham. Shavku le michzad lezer shnin yomam. And so because of this, because they were so impressed with the way they talked about him, they had respect for Talmid Chachamim. They exempted him from taxes for 13 years. But one day, they happened to actually find him, and they wanted to test: is he really so great? So Amr Lei Ktiv. They quote this pasuk in Amos: Rakat Chem Yadatim Kol Mishkor Adama Al Kein Avkor Alechem Et Kol Amodechem Mande Itlei Sisa Berachme Masiklei. And they said to him, I don't understand. Someone who you, if you are angry, do you raise it against the one who you love? Ishtik, he didn't know the answer. So they started choking him, right? They learned something. They put a scarf around his neck and started tormenting him. And Rabbi Avohu found them doing this. And Amar Lehu, Amay Mitzar Idule, what are you doing to him? Amar Lehu, V'lam Amar Lehu, Adam Gadol, didn't you tell us he's a great man? How could he be great? He doesn't know Pshat, no Pasuk and Amos. And he says to him, oh, come on. He knows Chazal. I didn't say he knows Tanakh. and Amrulay, Maishnatun Yadatin, they said, well, why is it that you, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, do know Tanakh? Why do the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, right, Bavel, not? He said, because we in Eretz Yisrael have to hang out with you heretics who ask us Tanakh questions, so we need to know Tanakh well to answer you. So they said, fine, I'll take that. Which is, by the way, evidence that, you know, not everyone Chazal was an expert in Tanakh. They said, fine, but at least you know Tanakh. So Amr Lei, Leman Lanat, so you tell me what it means. I'll tell you the mashal. If you lend money to two people, so you have to collect the debt one way or the other. The person, if one of the people that you lent money to you hate, you're going to make him pay it back in one shot because that's hard. The people you love, you'll allow them to pay it back in installments. Right, so what it means is that God punishes them right away so that it doesn't come to this one big payment. And that's what it means. Because I love you, I spread out the punishment, and I don't punish you in one fell soup, right? So that's Chazal's that's Chazal's interpretation. Rimi Balaganzi also focuses on the fact that you should have remembered my kindness. Right, the Radak points out a little bit more that theologically you should know you saw my miracles, right? You've seen me punish people, right? You know me, you know, the best, etc. The Abarbanel focuses on the fact that, yeah, not everyone has this direct hashkacha. The reason you're going to get punished more is because, right, you get rewarded more and you get punished more because you're under direct hashkacha from God. And the Malbim takes that as well. Balavim Eitz Al Shem La'rod Hashkacha Yeteira. And then sometimes the pasuk comes to highlight the extra hashkacha she'em mekusharim b'diato k'mochein k'mo ki yidati l'man asher yitzaved banav yidaticha b'she'em yodei Hashem derech tzadikim. The Ovo Moshe also focuses on love. So now we have a few psukim which basically highlight inevitability. Okay? So, Pazur Gimel, Hal Yechu Shnayim Yechdav Biltiyim Nuadu. Do people walk together unless they planned? Unless they've agreed to it? Right, so Rashi says, you're telling the Nevi'im to not prophesy. But how could you do that? Right? They already have prophecy. And just like it's inevitable, right, that if people are walking together because they, right, agreed about it and talked about it in advance, it's like Nevi'im talk because it was planned, right? This is what we're supposed to do. It's not like you can't just tell don't do it. Right? It's not right, that doesn't work, right? People, this was planned out. God said, here's what I'm telling you. This is what you should say. The Abarbanel says differently, which is, these two malchiyot, Yisrael and Yehuda, right, you both worship Avodah Zarah. Was that b'mikre? Must have planned it, right? You must have been planning it. Hayishag Aryeva Yar Viterafain Law Yitin Kfir Kalom Miona Tobiltiim Lachat. Does a lion roar if he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out of his den if he's caught nothing? Right? Meaning if you hear people screaming, roaring, something happened. Right, what is the mashal here? So not totally clear. One possibility, Rashi says the Aryeh is Nebuchadnezzar. Right, so like inevitable that Nebuchadnezzar is going to punish you. His second parish is Davar Achar Nevi'im Midamin Ruach Hakodesh Abalim L'Shagat Aryeh. Alternatively, it's the Nevi'im. Right, so one possibility is your punishment is inevitable. Right, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be roaring. The other is that. No, yeah, it's like, right, just like a lion roars when he has prey, like it's just the natural thing to do. So we get Nevuah, and what are we supposed to do? Right? Or the Ibn Ezra says, a lion doesn't roar for no reason. He roars because he has prey. I don't prophesy for no reason. I'm doing it because... Right? He says, that's one. And he said, that's point one. He says, I invoke the lion for two reasons. One, he doesn't roar for no reasons. And the second is, when a lion comes, it's scary. You should be scared. Because just like you couldn't survive a lion attacking you, you're not going to be able to survive the message. You're not going to be survive what I'm telling you. You're not getting out of it. There's a lion coming. And if it is inevitable, you are going to be caught by it. Ready? Happy. Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, different perushim. Anyways, another one. Does a bird fall into a trap and not get trapped? Does a snare spring up from the ground where there's nothing to catch? Right, it's always there. There's a reason for it. Right, so again, the Rikara just says, yeah, his point is, I'm not prophesying for no reason. Now, obviously, there's the second aspect, which David Ezra says, he's saying two things at once. One is, I'm not prophesying for no reason, just like animals don't get caught for no reason. And the other is, you're going to get caught, right? There's two aspects to it. There's the inevitability of the nevuah being given, and then the consequences of the nevuah. And as the right, Rebel against, he says, yeah, you are the birds. There is, this is what is happening. It is just going to happen that you are going to be trapped. He says, if a shofar is blown, are people not going to be scared? So too, you should be scared. And then it's makabeh patish, is if there's a bad thing happening to the city, do you think God didn't happen, do it? Meaning, right, two things. It's inevitable, but it's also planned. There's a rationale for it. Right? If it's bad, it's because there was a trap, because someone set the trap, because someone planned it, and that's God, and that's because you deserve it. So, right, you should be scared, but you should also realize that when you are punished, it's because
it was planned.
Kilo yasadonai lehim davar kim galosa delavadav neviim. And he says, God doesn't do it without telling the neviim. Right? That's why God is telling us. You can't get out of it. You can't say, stop prophesying. God told us it so that you would know. And now he says, Arye sha'ag mi lo yira adonai lehim diber mi lo yinave. If a lion roars, who wouldn't be afraid? And if God speaks, who cannot who would not prophesy? Right.
That probably points to the second day.
Right, right. Rashi. Well, it's both, but it also points to the fact that, remember, we said that at some level, and this we'll see more later on, but I already quoted you the pasuk, that Amos says, listen, I don't want to be here. I don't have a choice. Right? It's like God is roaring, I need. You can't tell me, right? This is highlighted here by the Radak, is you can't tell me not to prophesy. I don't have a choice. Right? We don't have choices. God is roaring through us, as it were. We don't have a choice. Stop telling me. Right, the whole Moshe puts it very succinctly. And if you ask me, fine, God has to make a prophet. Why you? Why you? Why'd you take it on? He says, Lo yacholti l'sarev. I couldn't say no. It's God. You ever try saying no to God? Yonah tried. It didn't work well for him. Contemporaneous, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hashmiu Armanot. So now the second half of the perek, now we turn to the sinners and we say, this is what you did bad. Hashmiu Armanot Bashdod, Ramanot Barak Mitzrayim, Vamru, Esfu, Arshimon, Rumu, Mat, Rabot, Bitochashukim, Birkirba. Proclaim in the palaces of Ashdod and Mitzrayim, assemble yourselves in Shomron and watch what oppression is among them. Just look how corrupt these people are. They are, well, they're just, right? He's calling on the non-Jewish kings to look at the Jewish kings and just say, whoa, right? They are, it's just chaos there, right? Right? Right. The old Moshe says, "Who bilis seder midini." There's no civil law. They don't know how to do the right thing. They hoard, plunder, and loot in their palaces. They don't know anymore. They don't know how to do the right thing. It's just not in their wheelhouse. They just, how do you do the right thing? I don't know. Right thing? What's the right thing? Stealing? Corruption? I don't know. Lachain Komaradan Erlim, Sar Usviv Haaretz, Vahurid Mimech Uzech Viravozu Armanotach. Because of that, God says, there will be enemies surrounding you. He will pull down your strongholds and he will be plundering your fortresses. That is going to be the punishment. All the everything in Shomron is going to be taken by the enemy because you don't deserve it. Komaradan Ai, Kasher Yatil Haroa Mipiha Ari, Shtei Kraim. When a shepherd manages to save his sheep from a lion, he manages to pull out a leg or two, a piece of an ear. That's what's going to be for you. Like, you know how much of you can be saved? An ear, a leg, you know, not so much. Like, some of you will survive, but you shouldn't be hopeful. It's the way that the amount of, you know, the percentage of Klal Yisrael will be saved and the state that it'll be saved is like the ear that you pull out left over from your sheep in the mouth of a lion. Okay? Good for you. Right, that's how bad it is. Shimu, Yidu Bevet, Yaakov, Numa, Adonai, Elohim, Elohim, Tzvot. Listen. Listen to the Nevi'im. Listen to what's going on. On the day that I punish Bnei Israel because of their sins, I will go to the Mizbeach in Beit El. I'm going to cut down the corners of the Mizbeach. It's going to fall down to the ground, right? So it's their greatness. It's their Avodah Zarah. And then we highlight their wealth. I'm going to destroy their summer homes and their winter homes, right? They have their cottages in the country. They have their house in Florida for the winter. I'm going to get all your extra houses, right? Rashi says, they were spoiled, right? Corrupt, spoiled brats. So I'm going to get your summer house. I'm going to get your winter house. I'm going to get your ivory houses. Everything with all of its luxury, it's all going. And which highlights part of their corruption. I mean, it's not just the punishment; that is part of the problem. Is that they are just haughty from all this wealth. And that's how he ends this perek. And we will pick up then with perek dalet.